This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is The Informer on Joy 94.9.
Last Thursday saw a landmark change in the legal requirements for transgender teens to be allowed access to hormone therapy. Teens who are experiencing gender dysphoria no longer have to argue their case in front of the family court.
The decision to start hormone therapy will instead be in the hands of the transgender teenagers themselves, as well as their families and doctor. While this is a great first step, there's a lot more work to be done for the transgender community.
Rebecca Robertson is a mother of a trans child and a founder of Transcend, the parent-led peer support network for transgender children and their families that works with the Royal Children's Hospital Gender Service. She spoke with us about how the new law will impact the kinds of services that can be provided by the Gender Centre.
When the law was still applicable, they had to, incorporate those legal restrictions into the medical framework. But now they're going to be able to administer the treatment appropriate for the young person when it's clinically the best time, not when the court is able to manage their court list.
What do you think we can learn from the way in which this has been handled and the way in which this has been handled within the courts in order to create a better structure to be able to fight for trans rights legally?
Firstly, what we've learned is that persistence pays off. And I've been fighting for law reform for 10 years. When we first started to see the doctors at the Royal Children's Hospital 10 years ago with Georgie, this was obviously an issue then. It had only been a law for 3 years when we began at the service, and we were assured that by the time it got to Georgie needing puberty blockers that the law would be changed and we wouldn't have to worry about it. Well, of course, that wasn't right. In fact, we were able to remove the first stage of treatment for trans kids by challenging the law. Unfortunately, I think the court wasn't ready to go there for stage two at that time, but we finally got there, and we got there with a lot of persistence and drawing more and more people from the community into that push. So letter writing campaigns began to involve politicians. The politicians began to engage with the community and engage with the stories of young people. And, we went to Canberra a couple of times and spoke to a lot of people. I think Georgie's petition really made a big difference. Actually, taking that to Canberra was, I think, pivotal, because we managed to secure a meeting with the Attorney General, George Brandis, and it's quite difficult to get a meeting with George Brandis. Mm. And Georgie was able to put the petition into his hands. And he actually, in the meeting, was unequivocal in his support for law reform. There was absolutely nothing confusing about his statements at all. He was for law reform. And then the case stated in Ree Kelvin came up, and the Attorney General intervened in that case. So I think the work that was done in getting the Attorney General on board was really, really pivotal, to have the highest lawmaker in the land agreeing that this was a legal anomaly and should be removed was significant.
And do you want to see laws like these being pushed further in terms of medical treatments for trans people and trans kids? Or do you think there's another area
in
that we...
In what context?
Well, I guess what we're asking is, what's next? What's the next thing that we should be focusing on to be able to properly support the trans community in what they need and what they need to fight for?
I think the laws around birth certificates and so on are probably the next important step. I think, as you know, there are a number of states and territories that require trans people to have surgery in order to change their birth marker on their birth certificate, their sex marker, sorry, on their birth certificate. And a lot of people find that extremely problematic because it really requires them to have irreversible treatment that they are not necessarily seeking in order to affirm their gender. So I think that will be the next thing to achieve. But there's so much across so many different areas that, you know, I'm the mum of a young trans person, but there are so many issues in the older trans community, especially around safety and security and access to nursing homes and appropriate medical care for the elderly. It's vast, but this is really significant. It's a massive, massive advance in the rights of trans young people, because it means that they can get the treatment that they're seeking in a timely manner, which they haven't been able to do before. And it means that young people can do it in safety now, whereas before, with the restrictions around access because of the legal framework, many were accessing hormones illegally and probably not getting the best outcomes for themselves doing it that way. So, yeah, it's a really, really pleasing result.
Do you feel like this is a sign that attitudes are shifting in the wider community as a whole, or just in the law?
The law, as you know, is extremely conservative. So there has been a huge shift in community attitudes in that time, and the family court has finally caught up. So we went to court the last time in 2015. When our appeal went through, it was 2013 when it was finally decided. But when the court case originally was in court, it was 2011. Now, so much has changed in that time. So much has changed. The conversation around trans kids is alive. A lot of it is very distressing, but most of it, in actual fact, the message getting through, generally speaking, is that trans kids matter. Their lives, their school life, their medical treatment, their rights matter. There's been a massive evolution in that time. It's a different landscape. That doesn't mean that there isn't a hell of a lot more to do, but we are actually evolving, I think, as a society. And I think the family court ruling in Ree Kelvin the other day is absolutely a reflection of that.
This is The Informer, Joy 94.9's nightly news and current affairs program, and your link to the stories that matter. Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.